everyone, before the podcast starts, I just wanted to share a quick personal message. This past Sunday, I found out that my brother was tested to have COVID-19, the coronavirus, and I debated whether to bring it up on the podcast at all, since this is the place where we talk about webtoons and we have a good time, but the world is in a crazy, surreal place right now, and it felt weird not to mention it. And I wanted to take this time to really encourage you to stay at home and to wash your hands and to, you know, take it really seriously, because even a quick visit with a friend could result in you getting it or even spreading it to others. So please, please stay safe, everyone. And now let us talk about some webtoons. Hello, and thank you for listening to Girl Wonder. My name is Jo Rochelle, and I'm just your everyday girl talking about your favorite webtoons. If you find yourself reading webtoons all the time and you are still craving more content, then you are absolutely in the right place. And just in case you didn't know, you can listen to this podcast on SoundCloud, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to hit subscribe or follow on whatever platform you choose to listen on. Today, we are discussing episodes 99 to 105 of Lore Olympus by Rachel Smythe. Speaking of Rachel, have you joined her Patreon yet? It is patreon.com/loreolympus. There you will find episode previews, bonus art, and so much more. It is totally worth it, and it's wonderful to support an author that you enjoy. You can find the link in the description box of this podcast episode. And if you enjoy this episode, consider joining my Patreon at patreon.com/girlwonder. You can find the link also in the description box. You will actually be hearing the voices of 5 of my patrons on the podcast today. I feel super lucky. It's so cool to hear the voices of your patrons. I don't know. It just makes you feel even more connected. So if you'd like to join our Webtoon Obsessed family, we would love to have you. And before we start, our top cities that have listened to this podcast the most in the last 7 days are Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is my hometown, Cebu City, Philippines, Anaheim, California, Warsaw, Poland, Honolulu, Hawaii, and Stamford, Connecticut, which makes me think of my favorite TV show, The Office. There is a part of season 3 where one of our main characters goes to Stamford, Connecticut, and something really good happens, and the whole team starts cheering Stamford, Connecticut, and clapping. So thank you for listening, whoever you are in Stamford. All right, let's get into it. Lore Olympus, episode 99. Apollo and Persephone are in the middle of a very heated argument. Persephone asks Apollo, "What could you possibly know about me?" Because this entire conversation, he has been trying to prove that he knows Persephone better than she knows herself, which we all know is not true. And Apollo replies to her question with, "You're a fertility goddess." Persephone looks at him with shock and confusion. She immediately starts to deny it, and Apollo says, "Either you know and you're lying, or your mother knows and she's lying to you." Let's break that down a little bit more. Let's go back into Lore Olympus history, because we know that Demeter has, slash was, slash might still be keeping some secrets when it comes to her daughter Persephone. So back in episode 63, in a flashback, she refused to let her daughter live with Artemis. It was just a whole big thing, and they argued, and Artemis was like, she's 19, she should be able to live where she wants. But a few weeks later, Artemis gets a letter from Persephone saying that now she has her mother's approval and she would still like to live with her. And Hermes, who delivered this letter to Artemis, remembers Demeter telling him, "What you witnessed yesterday, you must never speak of to anyone. My daughter's reputation is my top priority." So we know that Demeter keeps secrets. And if we can trust Apollo, which we cannot, but if we can trust what he's saying in this exact instance, and it's between Persephone lying and Demeter lying, it's probably Demeter. I don't think Persephone is aware of herself being a fertility goddess, and we will talk about that a lot more because it's going to come up a lot more in the episodes we're discussing today. So did I mention that while Apollo is talking to Persephone, a barrage of arrows are being thrown at him by Eros? Yeah, that's happening. Eros gets involved, and thank goodness he does, because he says, "Leave my friend alone, or I swear I'll ruin any chance you ever have of finding love." And I was just like, do it, Eros, just do it. Ruin his chances of finding love. But Apollo isn't scared. In fact, he is smiling at Eros as he says this. But thankfully, he does leave. And Eros gives Persephone the best hug. I love, love, love their friendship. Out of all of the beings in Olympus, I think he's probably the one who knows the most about how Persephone feels about Apollo. He's the best person to show up in this instance. Remember, back in episode 66, Eros and Persephone talked about Apollo, and she pretty much told him everything. She didn't even have to say. She was able to touch him, and he was able to understand what went down with them. He felt compassion for her, he cried with her, and he helped her see what that night really was. My favorite sentence from episode 66 was when Eros told her, "You don't just get to nag someone into having sex with you. That's not how consent works." And then he took her to his house for the first time. And now in this episode, 99, Eros does the same thing. He says, "Don't go to school today. Please don't try to go to school in the state that you're in. Come over to my house." So she does. And they head over there with Ampelis, aka Psyche. And Psyche tries to comfort Persephone by telling her she knows what it's like to feel powerless. Remember, she was forced to marry someone against her will once. We know the story, but Eros was surprised to hear this piece of information because he does not know that Ampelis is Psyche. Come on, Eros, please figure this out. The love of your life is literally on your back as you're flying right now. Hannah Mango commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, "What is most striking is Psyche has her memories. She's in on the test. I thought she basically had her mind wiped with the transformation." When I read this comment, I started to wonder the same thing. What did I think happened when Aphrodite made her transform into a nymph? Like, did her memories disappear? I don't know why we think that, but I guess you're not sure because Eros doesn't know who she is. Maybe she doesn't know who she is, right? So let's just go back to episode 70, which is when Aphrodite went to the apartment that Eros and Psyche had shared before she tried to kill him. And she listened to Psyche cry and tell her version of what happened between them. And though Aphrodite would never admit it, I believe that she felt some compassion for Psyche in that moment, even when she said, "I think this calls for a strange and elaborate punishment." And as Psyche's skin turns to that dark purple and her ears start to change into the ears of a nymph, Aphrodite says, "You and I are going to do a little experiment. I want to know how much my son really loves you." So yes, that's the test that we're always talking about. And what would it take for Eros to pass it? Does he need to recognize that this is Psyche? Does he need to fall for Ampelis but then say, "You know what? I'm in love with Psyche. I can't move further with you"? I'm not sure yet, but I think Eros is going to pass. I just get that feeling. So back to the present. They reach their destination and Ares is there. He is home. And Persephone did not know that Eros's father was Ares. It's clear from the moment that they see each other that they have some history. Ares notices right away that Persephone has been crying, and this made me feel like, yep, he has feelings for her. If we didn't already think that before, I thought that now. We first saw them interact back in episode 86. While Persephone and Ares were waiting in line to see Hades. So in episode 86, Ares said to her, "Last time I saw you, you were plump with optimism, but now you're so angry. You're practically rotting from the inside. I felt your rage all the way from the mortal realm." she did go from Cor to Persephone, from maid to bringer of death. And just seeing her now in Olympus in episode 86, he can see the change in her. He can see the anger in her. Her name change is super important. It feels like a big part of her identity that we need to figure out, as well as her being a fertility goddess. Those are two major parts of Persephone that will help us get to know her better. Back to episode 99, I wanted to say that I like the role reversal between parent and child, between Ares and Eros. Ares says something like, "Could you like go away? I want to talk to Persephone," which just sounds like a child saying, "Dad, like, I want to talk to my girlfriend, go away." And Eros says, "Best behavior, young man." So I love that role reversal that Rachel did there. It was very funny. And I also love Ares' outfit, his gray sweatpants and white tank. It really suits him. He's usually not wearing anything like that. He's usually very formal, but loungewear can be so fun, especially seeing characters in outfits we've never seen them in before. We end the episode with Ares apologizing for messing with her. Alyssa Bell commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, "Petition for Persephone to move out of Artemis's and into this household." I laughed when I saw that because at first I was like, yeah, it's so great. Eros, we saw it. Eros takes her here when she's in a great deal of stress, right? It's a place of solace for her. But also, no, that might not be a good idea because Aphrodite doesn't love her. Like, they're okay. But that might not work out well. Aphrodite, the same Aphrodite who put her in Hades' car, I don't think that would go well, especially now Ares is here and he is clearly attracted to her. It would just be asking for trouble if Persephone moved into this house. And aren't there like a lot of kids that live there? There's a lot of people in this house already. I think it's full. My takeaway from this episode is simply the fact that Ares is into Persephone. I don't think he's in love with her, but they definitely have a history. It feels like a romantic history, and we will delve deeper into that in the next episode. Episode 100 of Lore Olympus, Ares continues his apology to Persephone. He takes back saying that she was rotting inside. Remember when he said that in episode 86? "Last time I saw you, you were plump with optimism, but now you're so angry, you're practically rotting from the inside." I feel like that statement really hurt Persephone's feelings. She asked him, "Am I really rotting from the inside?" And he takes it back because he was exaggerating. But he did notice the difference between how she was in the mortal realm and how she is now. It's only been a short amount of time that she's been in Olympus, but she has changed. Persephone had some apologizing to do as well. She apologized for letting her mother beat him with a pitchfork, which I thought was really funny. And Ares wants to pick up where they left off. So yes, he is interested in Persephone, if only just to make out with her. He is interested. He wants to pick up where they left off. M.R.W. Clay commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, "Is Ares hitting on Persephone in the house of his current girlfriend? That's bold, yo." It really is. That's why I said it might not be a good idea for Persephone to move in here. No matter how wonderful her friendship with Eros is, I don't wish that on her. So to the question of should we pick up where we left off? Persephone says, "No, I'm sorry. I'm only accepting friendship right now." That's our wonderful boundaries queen. She has her boundaries. She has acknowledged her boundaries. Ever since having that conversation with Hades, I feel like that's really helped her grow and be able to tell people, yes, I am available, or no, I am not. And in this case, she is not available to pick up where they left off. And Ares asks, "Is it my uncle? Is that what does it for you?" And I realize he said that because he saw her briefly with Hades. Remember, they were waiting in line and then he saw her go off with Hades. And Persephone says, "Well, he is sexier than you." And everyone was just cheering in the comments section because Persephone called Hades sexy, which is something worth rejoicing over, right? Just in case we weren't sure if she found him attractive, which I knew she did when she saw him put that eye back in that guy's head. Yeah, she thought that was pretty sexy. So Eros returns and privately asks Persephone what her history is with his dad. Persephone says, "So I kind of hooked up with Ares a little bit." And Eros's face had me cackling. It was so funny. It was so humorous. His face, his eyes, everything, just like, he's just like, was like, what? With who? With my dad? What? It was really, really funny. And that's when the flashback begins. We are in the mortal realm in the woods with Persephone, our young Persephone, our never lived in Olympus Persephone, who is told by nymphs that there is a god in the woods. Persephone wants to deal with it and not tell her mother, and she wants to go alone because she thinks to herself, it's been so long since I've seen anybody new. And this sentence really stands out. I'm going to mention it again later, a few episodes from now. I'm going to mention it, how Persephone wanted to go alone, how she didn't want to tell her mother about the mysterious god in the woods, and that it's been so long since she's seen anybody new. This is a young woman who has been very lonely, very isolated, and like Rachel said in her interview with me at Comic-Con, left behind by her peers. We will talk about this moment. It just felt really important, and I just don't want you guys to forget. So just remember. Okay. Moving on, she goes into the woods, and there's Ares impaled through the abdomen on a tree. And I love how Persephone pokes him with a stick. Did you guys notice that? She pokes him with a stick, and then she pokes him with her finger. And when he wakes, the first thing he does is scream at her to help him and call her a nymph. I also love how Persephone shows him her ears to prove she's not a nymph, but he's like, you need to help me. I am impaled. So we end the episode with Persephone helping him. I noticed an interesting parallel here between Hades and Hera. So we've been doing a lot of these, but I want to go back into Lore Olympus history again, just to episode 78, when Hera met Hades. A reluctant Hera is asked to help Aidoneus with his bandages, and she does. All of those scars we see on Hades' chests in present-day Lore Olympus, well, Hera's treating those wounds in this flashback. And a part of Hades and a part of Hera started to fall for each other right there, right then. And that just makes me think of how now Persephone is the one treating a wound of Ares. And there's just another interesting parallel, because Persephone and Hades have so many beautiful similarities, and this feels like one of them. So I had the question for you guys and for my patrons. Do you ship Persephone and Ares? Is there any part of you that ships them at all? Are you rooting for their relationship? Here is what Jaylene had to say.
I ship Persephone with anyone on the condition that it be healthy and involve mutual attraction and consent, because homegirl should have some fun before getting married to Hades for eternity. We know their endgame. We know they're meant to be, but that doesn't mean that Persephone shouldn't get her fuck on. Hades has had years and years too, so why shouldn't she? It's only fair, right?
That voice message makes me laugh so much. It's so true. Like, why can't Persephone have some fun, you guys? You know Hades has been around for these 2,000 years running all around. I mean, he's not really, like, he's not a player at all. I had times where I contemplated, as I was getting to know him, is there any part of him that's a player like his brothers? Overall, I would say no. But he has had some fun. He has had some romantic relationships. It is only fair if Persephone gets that opportunity as well. I asked the same question to a few other patrons, and we will hear their voices very soon. But my takeaway from this episode is that parallel between Hera healing Hades and Persephone healing Ares. There's a deep connection and bond when someone heals the other, especially when one treats the other's wounds. Let's see what other kinds of bonding occurs between Persephone and Ares in the next episode. In episode 101, Persephone heals Ares, and in the process of getting that tree out of his body, she does make him fall, and when he hits the ground, he calls her a stupid village girl. Well, Al B commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, oh no, he's the reason she thinks everyone sees her as a stupid village girl. And this comment resonated with me, but I couldn't find in the webtoon where Persephone said, I'm just a stupid village girl. I couldn't find that moment. So if you guys could do some sleuthing and tell me if that ever happens, why do I feel like that happened? I know Persephone felt overwhelmed when she showed up in Olympus, and she even on that phone call she had with Hades after her terrible night with Apollo, I remember that she talked about how overwhelmed she felt and how she felt like her powers weren't strong at all, and Hades encouraged her in that way. But I don't remember if she ever calls herself a stupid village girl, but I think she might have, right? Said something like, I'm just a stupid village girl, and I know da da da. If you guys can find that moment for me, I will love you forever. Send it my way if you find it. So after he yelled at her, Persephone cries and runs off, which is a reasonable response. And Ares really looks at himself and is shocked that she healed his wound. He says to himself, a fertility goddess hasn't been born in years. So there it is again. Apollo said it. Ares has said it. Fertility goddess. Kitschy Star commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, Ares thinking that a fertility goddess hasn't been born in years, probably a very long time, and sounding like almost a rarity the way it's been spoken so far. I'm really eager to learn more about what marks Kor as such an obvious fertility deity to people. I feel the same way as that commenter. I'm trying to figure out what makes it so obvious. Is it that she healed him? Is it the way she uses her power? Is it the way her eyes lit up and they were white when she healed him? It could be a lot of things. It could be a combination of things. And we just don't know yet. The flashback continues. And on a different day, Ares shows up and scares her, even though she checked. She looked everywhere. And she didn't think he was going to show up, but he did. And he now knows that she is Demeter's daughter, and Ares says that Zeus sends him to the mortal realm to manage wars. At least that's what Zeus says, but he really thinks his dad is ashamed of him, and that's the real reason why he sends him away. And I'm trying to figure out, because we know Ares is manipulating Persephone, right? But is part of that true? Is that how Ares feels about his father? And if so, that is kind of sad. So Persephone has compassion for him, and he notices that compassion and wants to just pounce on it immediately. But she says, that's terrible, and she hands him her lunch. And she's also like, your wound healed so fast. She doesn't even know she healed him. So she wasn't lying to Apollo back in episode 99. She really does not know she's a fertility goddess. She doesn't know about some of the powers that she has. So what does she think happened when she lifted him up off of that tree? I guess she just thought she was manipulating the tree, right? And like using her powers in nature. That's what I'm going with for now. So Ares tells her that he doesn't know how to read. And Persephone offers to teach him, which is exactly what he wanted. He is not ashamed of trying to manipulate this really young goddess. Persephone tells him, I only have a small window of time to myself, so meet me here at 11 a.m. every day, okay? I found that sentence so important. It's that she only gets an hour a day by herself every other waking moment. She's either with nymphs or her mother, and it must be overwhelming. It's just sad that she's spending her time teaching Ares how to read when the man already knows how to read, isn't it? Don't you feel bad for Persephone? Don't waste her time. She has such little time. But she does. She spends her time teaching him how to read. And finally, Ares gets to the point of why he was manipulating her in the first place. He asks, do you want to make out one day? And Persephone thinks to herself, he's not my ideal choice, but I am curious. I'm sure a little kissing wouldn't hurt anyone. Let's talk about her state of mind. She already knows, having spent some time with this man trying to teach him how to read, she already knows that he is not her ideal type. But when will she get another opportunity to kiss someone. When? When will this happen again? I think that's what's going on in Persephone's mind. She has 1 hour to herself. She gets to sneak around with a god, and now she gets to kiss a god, and she's never going to have another chance to do that, is how it feels with her overprotective mother. So, yeah, this is another moment where I feel like she was left behind by her peers. And when she said, "He's not my ideal choice," did you guys think that maybe she might have met Hades already? Evil D Wagon commented on one of my Instagram posts about this very moment and said, "I have the feeling that the night where she snuck in on a very drunk blue boy was before this thing with Ares happened. She maybe was enamored with the handsomeness of the king of the underworld, but she would never kiss someone in their sleep. So she just admired and studied him for some hours and developed a crush for this man. And that's why she had an ideal type. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk." I love that theory. That's so cute if that's how it turned out to be. And for those of you who maybe haven't read that episode in many weeks, it was back in episode 72. That was when Hades read a letter Persephone addressed to Hecate, referring to a time in the mortal realm where she met Hades. But Hades cannot and does not remember that moment. So Persephone's letter said, "I'm so sorry Mother was mad about your surprise guest. She just doesn't want men on the property because of me. I hope the king of the underworld didn't have too nasty of a hangover." So, because her letter says Demeter doesn't want men on the property because of Persephone, it could be that Demeter already saw this Ares and Persephone thing go down. It was like, no men, no men ever. Or that's just how the rules always were, right? So I can't tell, but I like the theory that she's already seen Hades and she's like, oh, that's my type. And now that she's looking into Ares's face, she's like, this isn't my type, but I'm going to kiss him anyway. So they kiss, but not for long, because Persephone spots Ares' yearly planner in his bag. And that proves that the man can read and write. Cut to Demeter with her pitchfork. Persephone screams for her mother, and Demeter goes into a state of maternal panic. It literally says maternal panic, which made me laugh. It's a funny play on internal screaming, which we see Hades experience a lot with Persephone. It's also funny to see Demeter have maternal panic with her daughter. The episode ends with Demeter saying she's on her way, so Ares better watch out. So now that we've seen a little bit more of their dynamic, Persephone and Ares, I had to ask a few other of my patrons, do you ship them? Does any part of you ship them at all? Here is what Tiffany said.
I would say in the comic, I really don't at all. I think when Ares first met Persephone, he was pretty rude, and he only softened up and was being nicer to her when he learned she was a fertility goddess, which has benefits to him, it seems. So I think in the comic, he's pretty self-interested in his interest in her, even if there is like a playful banter between the two. So I enjoy the playful banter, but I will say that the fanfics that I've read of the two of them are really good. And I do enjoy them in fanfic, actually. But in the comic, I don't see his interest in her being good-hearted, I guess.
I agree with Tiffany. I have read some fanfic between Persephone and Ares, and I've been really into it, and I've really shipped them. But right now in this webtoon, even Persephone told us, like, that's not my ideal type. So if that's what Queen Persephone is saying, I am with her. I don't think that they're a great match for each other, especially because he's manipulating her. Here is Mizuki talking about whether she ships them or not.
I really don't. I feel as if they are complete opposites. You know, he's very angry and thrashy and violent, and she's not. I mean, she gets angry about, I feel like, the right things, but he just gets immediately angry, you know? So I just don't think that they would have a functional relationship. I just think that it would be a little, I wouldn't say toxic. I would just think, you know, it'd be like, what are those two doing together, you know? You just think that because they're complete opposites. But I guess you could say that about her and Hades too, right?
It's true that Aries is super thrashy and super angry. And while Hades and Persephone are also opposites in many ways, I will say that I don't think Hades would ever yell at Persephone and call her a stupid village girl at any moment. When he first saw her at that party, he was head over heels, like, into what she looked like and really, really liked her. And he wasn't like, what a stupid village girl at this party. Who invited her? Which is probably what Aries might have said if he noticed her at all. Here is Shirin with some thoughts on Persephone and Aries.
As for Aries and Persephone, I think they have a great dynamic and it's really fun to read them interact with each other. But I personally don't really ship them romantically. Like, I think they make a good duo and they have, like, a good chemistry going on. But for me, it's not romantic, despite the kiss they shared in the mortal realm.
I have to agree with what everyone has been saying. There is some chemistry there. There is a connection, but I don't ship them either, personally. I do enjoy the fanfic, though, so I can see the ship, but I'm not on the ship. I just jump onto it when it's like ancillary content. It's not really the core canon content of the series. So my takeaway from this episode, which was episode 101, is from what we've seen, Persephone doesn't really have romantic feelings for Aries. She said that this god is not her ideal type. He was like an experiment for her. She was just trying something new that she would never get a chance to try because of her mother. In the next episode, we're going to talk about what happens when Aries gets caught in a lie. So stay tuned. In episode 102, The Truth is Out, Aries is caught in his lie about not being able to read or write. He has no choice but to own up to it. And I noticed while owning up to this lie, he doesn't apologize to Persephone. He just says that he was going to tell her eventually, which sounds like an excuse to me, and that doesn't make it any better. It's not comforting, dude. So Persephone also feels that way, because she yells for her mother. I think if he had said, I'm so sorry, like, this is crazy what I'm trying to do to you. This doesn't make any sense. I really apologize. I don't think she would have screamed for her mom, but he ticked her off just enough. Like, he pissed Persephone off just enough for her to call for her mom. And her mom shows up. Demeter is there with her pitchfork in hand. And Persephone says, Mama, the smelly man is bothering me, which I love. She's like, I'm going to throw an insult at you. Because he did not apologize to her when he definitely wronged her. I also love that as Persephone is walking away, she blows him a kiss. And Demeter goes in, she hits him with that pitchfork, and we know she's probably going to hit him for a long time. And that's the story of how I hooked up with your dad, is what Persephone says in the present. And Eros tells her, you and I have a very different definition of hooking up. I have to admit, when I first read all of these episodes for the very first time, I was not sure what was going on, like what was going to happen between Persephone and Aries. I wasn't sure what hookup means to Persephone. But when I started reading it and he asked her if they should make out and she's like kiss? If she doesn't know what make out is, I don't think she's going to know what hookup is, you know, even today. She's still so sheltered that that makes sense that she and Eros would have absolutely different definitions. One thing that made me sad for our dear Persephone was when she lost all of her alone time after that experience with Aries. The little bit of alone time that she had, that hour that she had at 11, it was gone after that. Not only did she waste that time trying to teach someone who already knew how to read, but she now lost that time. And we know how isolated she was, so I felt really sad learning that. The episode moves on to Hades, who is in the middle of a dream. He is making food for his son that looks like him, And then he sees his beautiful wife, Persephone, and she's just sparkling. That's his vision of her. She's sparkling. Her jewelry is sparkling. She's just bright and sunny. She's got a ring on her ring finger. They're married. She calls him Aidoneus, and she tells him she loves him. And at that moment, Hades wakes up, and he's alone. And he looks to his side. Yeah, he's completely alone in bed. And he feels like he missed his opportunity to tell her that he likes her. They had that boundaries conversation, which I analyzed the crap out of on this podcast. And at that time, she told him that she liked him. And he thought about admitting his feelings. He ran back to her several times trying to do it, but he never did it, which was hard for us, right? But it's part of his journey, and we can see that now because he thinks to himself, if by some miracle she did choose me, I would hate for her to regret it later. And for me, I want to tell Hades, like, that's not possible. That's not how she is. She would never look at you like that with disdain or anger for keeping her in the underworld. She knows what she's signing up for, and I don't think she would just regret it later. But this is a part of his journey. He's learning. And he also thinks to himself, I've spent a lifetime acting like I don't want relationships or children. It's just easier to say no to those things before they can say no to me. Not that I could even give her a family the standard way. When would be a good time to bring that up? Bringing up the fact that Hades is infertile. And Devaney commented on this episode and said, well, based on how the beliefs worked back in the day, fertility goddesses worked both with human and plant fertility. And if you were unable to conceive, it was because whatever fertility deity was not in your favor. And if you were able to conceive, you were blessed. So based on that, theoretically, she can give and take fertility with mortals and maybe therefore can do it with gods, unless it works differently with gods. Yes, there's a lot of speculation as to whether her being a fertility goddess means that she can have children with Hades, even though he feels like he cannot have any children the standard way. Seymour Nerds commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, as a student in the medical field, the word infertile is an old term. We commonly use subfertile as most infertility can be corrected, winking at Persephone being a fertility goddess. Sterility, on the other hand, means the inability to conceive, like having Tunner's syndrome because the person has a single sex chromosome. Sorry for the book talk, but what I'm saying is that he isn't sterile, but just subfertile, and can easily be corrected by a physician or fertility goddess in this webtoon. That is a possibility. We're seeing the parallels again between Hades and Persephone. There's all this talk about her being a fertility goddess, and now there's all this talk about him being infertile. He even says that Persephone might find out just through the people who spread rumors in Olympus, because a lot of people know that about him. I'm interested to learn more about both of them and their fertility and their infertility. I want to know all of their business. So Hades looks at the letter that he had written Persephone as a therapy assignment all those episodes ago. Yes, we're going back in Lore Olympus history to episode 47. This is the episode where we saw Hades and Minthe getting back together / reconciling after she didn't show up to the party and he had expected her to, but she didn't. And it was a letter that also explained why he was getting back with Minthe, why he was choosing Minthe over Persephone. He never intended to give this letter to Persephone. He was just writing it as an assignment from his therapist, but we got to see the contents of this letter. So what's important is the revelation that Hades loves how Persephone treats him. He literally crosses out a paragraph in the original letter, and here is what he crossed out. He crossed out, "I don't think you can be in love with someone you don't know. I'm just infatuated with you. You have indulged my numerous advances with the kindness and grace of no other. This is terrifying because your attention makes me feel so good, and the concept of not being able to feel that way again is devastating." That is where Hades' self-worth was back in episode 47. Now we are in episode 102, and he has crossed out that paragraph, and here is what he wrote instead. I love the way you treat me, and I want to feel that way all the time. He realizes that no matter what happens with Persephone, he just can't keep doing what he's doing with Minth. Speaking of Minth, we go to her, and she's at the balcony of her apartment, and she receives a text from Hades saying, "Can we talk soon?" All right, y'all. My takeaway from this episode is character development. Hades has grown so much since he wrote that letter back in episode 47. I thought it was a brilliant way of showing his growth, him crossing out the old and writing in the new. I love that he loves the way Persephone treats him. I love the way Persephone treats him. And it's important that he recognizes that feeling and appreciates it. Before, he said her kindness and grace was terrifying because he may not be able to feel that way again, and that's devastating. So it's like, I don't want you to be kind to me. I don't want you to be gracious towards me. It scares me because I might not feel that way again. And now he's like, I want to feel that way all the time. That is growth. That is growth, people. We start off episode 103 with Minth, and remember that Hecate took her away from Hades on that fateful day when she assaulted him, and now we get a bit more of that conversation between Minth and Hecate. Hecate tries to understand why Minth did that, and Minth says, "If I knew why I acted that way, we wouldn't be here." And that is consistent with how Minth is, because we've been in her mind before. We've listened to her thoughts. We've heard her ask herself, why is she like this? But at the end of the day, yes, it's good that she recognizes that she needs to change and this isn't good. It's good to know that she has a conscience, right? But at the same time, will she change her actions? Will she listen to that conscience? Minth really wants to go back and apologize to Hades right now. She just really wants to go back and apologize. But Hecate says no, which I believe is the absolute right thing to say. She tells Minth, sometimes we want to apologize, but really, it's to make ourselves feel better. And that is true, especially in Minth's case. I think that's all she wanted to do. She felt bad. She knows she did something wrong. She got caught doing something wrong. Hecate saw it. So she wants to go and apologize right now. But is that really for Hades or is that for her? Back in the present, we're with Minth at her apartment. She's crying and there's a knock on her door. It's Thetis. And Minth tells her she's afraid that Hades will break up with her. It seems like it's her biggest fear right now. And she says, I'm going to lose my job and the apartment. I guess I never realized how much Minth's life was intertwined with Hades. I didn't realize that not only her work, but the place that she lives belongs to him. You know what I mean? I just never thought of the consequences. And I guess she didn't either because she didn't treat him very well in their relationship. But Thetis thinks that she's giving her friend tough love, but she doesn't give great advice. She doesn't give great encouragement. But what did we expect of Thetis? What did we expect of her? She says things like stop moping or come on now, chin up, or if you cry too much, you'll get wrinkles. And this one takes the cake when Thetis says, too bad you can't fake a pregnancy. So yeah, she knows that Hades is infertile and it just proves that everyone knows it and they talk about it. This is the moment where Thetis brags about being able to get Zeus to leave Hera. She has a picture of his privates, some nudes from Zeus, and she sends them to Hera on a burner phone so she can't trace it. And we've seen this moment a little bit before. It was in episode 82. That was when we saw Hera receive Thetis' text message and confront Zeus about that picture, and then he gaslit her a lot. So Minth was not on board with this plan. I think she has more of a conscience than Thetis does, but is Thetis even in love with Zeus? Do you guys think so? I don't think so. I think she's more about proving that she's more than just a nymph. She feels the hierarchy and she just wants to prove that she can take something from a goddess, and she is taking something from a goddess, in her opinion. I think that's what it's all about for her. I don't think she's like, I want to marry Zeus because I love him, or I want to be with Zeus forever. I don't think it's any of that. And on the other hand, for Minth, I do think she has real feelings for Hades. There was a time where she thought, I could never be queen of the underworld. I can't take that kind of pressure and publicity. I can't be a public figure like that. And then she wanted to really try, right? That's when she decided with Hades that they were really going to try this thing out and really, really date officially. So it's always been different. Thetis has never been the person to go to for advice on relationships, especially when it comes to Minth's situation. And now her idea is that they should go out, and Minth doesn't want to. And Thetis says, well, what else are you going to do? Sit at home and have a boo-hoo session? So yeah, her big idea for her friend who is in pain is to go out, take a bunch of photos, and hope those pictures make Hades jealous. So they do. Even though Minth didn't want to go, she still went. They get to the club. They skip the whole line. Megara is there and does not like that at all. She spots Minth, who was already feeling down and really insecure. And Meg says, you're horrible. My sister told me what you did. I don't see how you can be out having a good time. I mean, she's right. Where is the lie? Minth knew this was not a good idea. Her spirit, her gut, told her not to go out. And she said no at first, but she still went out. So this was bound to happen. Foxfire13 commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, is anyone else so proud of Megara, the lilac cinnamon bun, for saying what we have been wanting to say? Bless her adorable soul. So I also saw some people asking, who is Meg again? It has been a while. And don't worry, I've got you. Back in episode 48. We first meet Megara along with her two sisters, who make up the Three Furies, who Hades asked to locate the paparazzi photographer. She has a crush on Hades, if you guys remember. It's a huge crush. He barely notices her, but she feels like they have a connection. And also, back in episode 56, she and Persephone had a conversation in the changing room where you get into your clothes that you're going to wear in the mortal realm. Meg was crying over Minth being in a relationship with Hades officially on Fate's book. She confides in Persephone, who cheers her up and even calls her a rare beauty. Meg offers her one of her outfits to wear in the mortal realm. So that is who Meg is. Inside the club, they spot Poseidon's wife. Hades' sister-in-law, and Minth is terrified. She's scared that she knows what she did. She just got confronted outside the club. She doesn't want the same thing to happen in the club. But Thetis does not care. This is when Thetis really shows where her mind is at. She says, you're really killing the mood. That just proves that she was never bringing Minth out here to make her happy or even to make Hades jealous. Thetis brought her out here because she was going clubbing and she wanted to have a good time. So Minth says, Hades was right. You're not my friend. Chanel Marie McKinnon commented on this episode of the webtoon and said, I think it's important to point out that she is admitting she has a problem and doesn't know why she acts the way she does. It is very easy to paint the abuser as all bad all the way, but much harder to see them as broken as well. It doesn't excuse her actions whatsoever, but it is good writing. Hopefully, it creates a space where abusers can identify with this, ask for help, and stop hurting others. That is truly breaking the cycle. That's absolutely true. And I want that for Minth. I need her to ask for help. I need her to identify, like, that's the voice that I need to start listening to, the voice that says, stop being like this, and listen to it and stop hurting others. There was a voice that told her, don't go out to the club tonight. You don't want to go. But she didn't listen to it. When Minth starts listening to that little quiet voice of hers, I think she will start to get onto a path of breaking the cycle. So my takeaway from this episode is that hopefully Minth is starting to realize that Thetis is truly not there for her and will stop being friends with her. But is that going to happen? We will have to keep reading and keep discussing to find out. In episode 104, Thetis says to Minth, from day one, all I've tried to do is help you. When we met, you were a huge nobody, a mud-sucking, low-class river nymph. And as Minth is hearing all of this, her hair kind of starts to change. It's like dripping. It looks wet. And this is what happens when she is distressed. It's interesting because now we see a parallel between Minth and Persephone, of all people, her rival, in her opinion, her enemy, in her opinion. And we know that Persephone's hair, it grows longer as she gets upset or sad or distressed. And we see Minth's hair kind of start to drip. That was an interesting parallel. So Minth leaves because there's nothing for her here. She goes home, gets back in bed, cries, rinse, repeat, does it again. She spends most of the weekend in bed. Thanatos shows up at her door and he's concerned that she hasn't really been answering her phone, and he also brought her food. He's a better friend than Thetis, for sure. I think Thanatos truly cares about Minth, and I know it because when Thetis showed up to bring her to the club, she showed up empty-handed. At least Thanatos brought some food. Thetis showed up empty-handed and just wanted basically someone to go to the club with, right? So when Minth finally turns her phone back on, she sees Hades saying, "Can we talk soon?" And they get on the phone. They decide to meet up. And even though you can't hear them talking, you can tell that their voices are very somber. You can tell they know what's coming next. So on the balcony, they are together, smoking a cigarette. I appreciate the art so much here, and just I could feel how they were feeling, even though I wasn't there. And this is a comic. I felt like it was so real. I could feel the tension between them. I could feel the imminent breakup about to happen. So Hades declines taking a cigarette from her. He says he's trying to cut back, and that sets her off. It's like immediately Minth brings up Persephone. She can't be alone with Hades for 2 seconds without bringing up Persephone. She says, "Miss Perfect has really done a number on you, huh?" I think it makes Minth happy, or it makes her feel better to put others down, right? It makes her feel like I'm lifting myself up by putting someone else down. And I also think it makes her feel happy to, or at least not happy, but comforted to say that Persephone is the cause of all of their troubles, right? Things were fine before Miss Perfect showed up, when we know things weren't fine in their relationship. Before he ever laid eyes on Persephone, Minth was already trying to be so bitchy that he wouldn't propose to her, right? She's like, "I'm not going to that party. You're going to show up to Zeus's party all alone. And also, did you get that purse I wanted? I'm just going to be the bitch they all think I am." That is Minth's perspective. That is not Persephone's fault, but and yet she keeps bringing her up. It's like revisionist history. She is changing their past and saying Persephone is the cause of the problems, not her actions. We get to a point in the conversation where Minth says, "So are we breaking up?" And Hades says, "Yes." And I was shocked. I didn't know it was going to be that direct, but Hades was ready, you guys. He was ready. And Minth, her face, she looked so shocked and in despair all at the same time, and she starts to cry. I asked my patrons, what was your reaction to the breakup? Here's Mizuki.
I would say that it would be relief. To leave a toxic relationship is the biggest thing to take away from it, is relief, for sure. And I mean, obviously, they had a couple things that they learned from that relationship and the takeaway, but the biggest thing that stood out to me was just relief. It was simple as that, you know?
I definitely felt relieved. I was scared that they were going to keep going and keep trying to make it work. Here's how Jaylene felt.
My breakup reaction. Finally. Yes, Hades, begin the healing process away from your abuser. So good. Minth, get it together or get going.
Yes, we have waited so long for this moment. Here is what Tiffany felt.
I was really proud of Hades. He stood his ground while still displaying his personality, which is he's a very soft person. And he could have been a lot meaner to her. She deserved a lot, stronger words than he gave her, but I think it was true to his character, the way that the breakup was written.
Let's talk a little bit more about how the breakup goes. After he says yes, and Minth looks shocked and in despair, she actually begs for another try, another go at their relationship. She apologizes for what she did. She says, "I don't have an excuse." And then Hades says, "I know you're working through some stuff at the moment, but I am not the right being to help you with that. You need to take responsibility for yourself." He hit the nail on the head. That is absolutely what Minth needs to do. Take responsibility for herself. Don't blame Persephone. Look at what you have done in this relationship. And she just doesn't get it, because Minth says, "But I am. I apologized, didn't I? Can't you see how sorry I am? Do you really want to end things like that?" When you get to that point, Minth, when you're asking questions like, "Didn't you hear my apology? Can't you see how sorry I am? Do you want to end things like this?" When you get there, are you taking responsibility for yourself? You're saying a lot of you, Hades, you need to do this. You need to see how sorry I am. You can't end things like this. It's so manipulative, right? It's incredibly manipulative. That's where she reverts immediately. So yes, she apologized to him, and she didn't make up excuses like, "I had to hit you." She didn't go that way, but she's still trying to manipulate his heartstrings. Back in episode 46, I talk about this moment a lot on the podcast. It's when Minth showed up at Hades' door in the rain crying. It's a pivotal moment in the story. It's the moment where he decided to keep pursuing things with Minth and not actively pursue things with Persephone any longer. And as Minth is basically begging for Hades to forgive her, she says, "I know I messed up at the party, okay? It's just a lot of pressure, you know? This is your fault to begin with. You think I'm better than I actually am. I thought we were supposed to be messed up together, and now you get to be all normal and well-adjusted with her? Please, Hades, don't leave me behind." I had to tell you guys about that moment because the first time I ever read it, I did not know how abusive Minth was. I was not able to recognize that this is a pattern of hers, but now, looking at episode 104, we can see the pattern where she blames Hades. She says it's his fault and begs him not to leave her behind, basically. She begs for another try. And I'm proud of Hades for not falling for it this time. Let's listen to Shirin talk about this breakup.
My reaction to the breakup was, yes, I'm so proud of Hades for ending the relationship. I didn't expect it to happen yet, just storytelling-wise, because I feel like after Hades and Minth decided to give it a try, we didn't really see them have a relationship at all. It was just kind of chaotic and hurtful to each other most of the time. And I thought that also in that conversation they had that she would kind of guilt him into continuing to try. But I am really happy that that didn't happen. I'm so happy for Hades. My favorite line was when he said, "I want to feel loved and safe every day, not sometimes." I feel like it acknowledges that not everything was always bad in the relationship, but there just wasn't enough consistency, and that he wants that consistency, which is really great because I think people often hold onto relationships for like the rare good moments or the good times in the past and just hope that it will go back to how it used to be. And I think that can make it really hard to let go. And Hades puts into words what he wants from a relationship. And I think that's awesome because he's acknowledging that she's not giving him that now or anymore. Because, I mean, all we've seen from them is very dysfunctional, but something must have drawn him to her initially. And I also think we don't often see Hades acknowledge his self-worth. So I'm really great that, yeah, that he's putting it into words and he's figured out what he wants.
I want to feel loved and safe every day, not sometimes, all the time. I'm glad Shirin brought that up because what a moment, what a revelation Hades has had, how much growth he has gone through. Hearing him say that he wants that consistency, he wants to be loved all of the time, he wants to feel safe in this relationship all of the time, Minth should be like, yes, That is what you deserve. That is what people deserve in relationships. And I'm so sorry I haven't given you that, and I cannot give you that until I straighten out what's going on in my own life and my own issues. Wouldn't that be great if she could have said that? But she's not there yet. That's not where Mint's journey is yet. Instead, she says this. Is it her? Do you love her? She listened to Hades say he wants to feel loved and safe every day. And she goes, is it her? Phoebe commented on this episode of the webtoon, saying, oh, Minth, ... making this about another girl because you know jealousy, but not self-worth. Easier to accept a new enemy than to see Hades grow. I do love all the nuances of these characters, beautifully written, plus the parallels between Cor standing up to Apollo and Hades standing up to Minth. Different abuse, same courage. I am so proud of them. I am too. We all feel so proud of Hades right now, so much. And yeah, it's beautiful writing because Minth can be so frustrating. It's better that Rachel wrote her this way, where she knows she's wrong and she knows she's being wrong, but she still does it anyway. She knows she's being bad, but she still does the bad thing, takes the bad action at every time almost. It's frustrating. You want Minth to learn, but she's not there in her journey yet. My takeaway from this episode is another compliment to Rachel's writing. It's, I used to want Hades to break up with Minth because he found out that she put Persephone in danger all of those episodes ago when they first met, but this moment was even better. It was far more satisfying to see Hades summon up his courage and grow in respect for himself. Episode 105, Hades answers Minth's question, do I love her? And he says, it's too early to tell. I like how the image he sees of Persephone, though, when she asks that question, do I love her? The image in his mind, it's from the first moment he ever met her. It really feels like a wink at the notion of love at first sight, which is something we could argue about whether Hades experienced or not. So his boy self says, more than anything, in all caps, which was so cute, and Hades swats him away, and he says, as much as you can love someone you've only known for 2 weeks. So think of Minth hearing this, his newly minted ex-girlfriend hearing, as much as you can love someone you've only known for 2 weeks. I mean, that's a yes, right? He said, yes, I love her as much as I can. Like, as much as I could possibly love her in 2 weeks, I love her. That felt like a yes, but a no, but a yes. And at this moment, she begins to feel distressed. We see her dripping. She looks like she's melting. And Phoebe commented and said, river nymphs and sea nymphs turning to water when upset / angry is what I'm here for. I love this art so much. Yeah, I still feel like it's great to have that parallel with Persephone where there's just a physical change when you're feeling distressed. That's such a good idea for Rachel to have, you know, with the visuals of the webtoon. We can physically see when characters are distressed. So I was wondering, does Hades love Persephone? What do you guys think? Can he really be in love with her in this short amount of time? Or is he just infatuated with her? Here is what Kirby thinks.
Is Hades in love with Persephone? I don't think so. Not quite yet. It's only been 2 weeks. But I think he is in that stage that we all get in sometimes where people, or you meet somebody that you really like and you get into that giddy, kind of really more lovesick stage, where you are just thinking about them constantly. Anytime they text you, you freak out. I got in that way when I met my husband in like the first couple weeks to month of us being around each other and kind of figuring out what we were. I was just lovesick over him because you see so much potential. So that's what I think is going on.
That lovesick phase, I definitely feel like Hades and Persephone are in it. Here's what Jaylene thinks.
I'm gonna have to say no, but
he's on the way there. They don't know each other well enough to say love, but I would say well enough for an infatuated crush, which will blossom into love with, you know, time and getting to know each other and mutual respect and all that delicious stuff.
We know that Hades called it just an infatuation back when he'd only known her for a few days. And even now, he hasn't been able to say, yes, I'm 100% in love with her. But here is what Tiffany thinks about whether Hades is in love with Persephone.
I think he is truly in love with her. I think he understands her more than he gives himself credit for. And I think you can be in love with someone that you've only known for 2 weeks, especially when you've had as many interactions as they've had and had as many heart-to-heart conversations. I think you really can get to know someone in a short amount of time. And they're in love and they're going to have a great future together.
So far, everyone's pretty much saying that he's definitely, definitely infatuated. We've got one person who feels like, yeah, this is love. They've been seeing each other a lot. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, but with all of those interactions, 2 weeks can feel a lot longer. And I can attest to that because when Josh and I were first dating, we spent a lot of time seeing each other every single day. And that makes a difference. You feel like you're falling in love a lot faster. Here is Mizuki on the same topic.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Mizuki lists a few reasons why she thinks Hades is definitely in love with Persephone.
He's cutting off his relationship with Hera, his secret relationship with Hera. I thought that was a really big thing. And then the last thing I think was the letter to his therapist, you know. He wrote all the things that, you know, why he shouldn't be infatuated with her and how they should take time away from each other. But in the end, he just wrote over the letter, I love the way that I feel around you. So yeah, I definitely think he's in love with Persephone. And I think it goes the same for her too. And I think it's just difficult for both of them because I don't think either of them have ever truly been in love before. That's where it's kind of difficult.
That's true. In Hades' first letter to Persephone, he mentions that he's never been in love before. So it would make it really hard for him to say, yeah, this is love, because he doesn't know what it feels like. Last but certainly not least, here is Shirin on whether Hades is in love with Persephone or not.
Whether or not Hades loves Persephone, I think that there are two factors to this. Time works a bit different in the realm of emotions, I think. Like a month or even a couple of weeks can feel so long when you're building a connection with someone. And I've witnessed relationships that were healthy and loving and deep and impactful, and they lasted only a few short months. But it doesn't make them like any less valid or important to what happened inside the people during that time. And I also think that love evolves. So it can't be the same love in the beginning that he would feel after knowing her for a long time. You know, that kind of love that's like familiar and intimate if you've been together maybe a year or two and you live together and know each other really, really well. But that kind of love also just doesn't, you know, come out of like materialize out of thin air. I think that it's something that has to grow and it starts somewhere. And I think if Hades looked back at this moment later on in time, once, you know, they're maybe married and hopefully happy, I think he would say that, yeah, he was in love already at this moment after 2 weeks. And I adored little Adonias popping up and shouting more than anything, because I feel like that's a really good indication of what's happening inside of Hades and his true feelings.
I loved that moment so much too. So Minth ends up saying some pretty mean things. She says, it won't work. Do you think cutting back on a few cigarettes is going to be enough? Eventually, she'll see what you're like, what you're really like. It's only a matter of time before you disappoint her. And that was his greatest fear, other than being like his dad. That was one of his biggest fears. He just said that in his head before showing up at Minth's. So just, it stinks that she's able to tap into his biggest insecurities, but it didn't work. He's not like, well, now I want you. Thankfully, Hades stays true to the path of this is a breakup and this is over. Minth says, you'll be back because we're the same. And I say to myself, he better not be back. And Hades says he doesn't know what will happen with Persephone or his love life in general. But what I do know is that we are done. And that is the name of this podcast episode. We are done. And hopefully this is final for them. They've done this merry-go-round a few times. They have broken up. They've gotten back together. They've broken up. They've gotten back together. Let's hope that this time it sticks. And then Minthe asks, are you going to kick me out? Because she was so nasty to Hades just now, I think she expects him to be the same way back to her. Her self-worth is low. She expects to be treated poorly, and he doesn't do that. Hades is not like that. So when it comes to her job, he says, just prove to me that your apology meant something through your actions. And I like that he said that because her actions are what needs to change. It's not that she doesn't know right from wrong. She needs to start doing what is right and abandoning what is wrong. Hades leaves, Minthe showers, and I wonder if she just has to wash off her distress, like her dripping, melting hair. The way it looks, I wonder if that's something she needs to shower off, because we've seen her do that a few times now. Over the weekend, Thanatos broke in at work, pulled Persephone's resume, and saw that it was approved by Hera. And saw that her name is Kor, or was Kor. And Thanatos says, how does a goddess go from being a maiden to being a bringer of death? That is the same question Artemis had when she saw the name change. And we are all wondering the same thing, thank you. We're just waiting patiently for Rachel to reveal it to us. So then he breaks into Artemis's house. And I was rooting for you, Thanatos. I was like, you're a good friend to Minthe, you're so sweet to bring her food. I like you guys together. But now I'm like, Artemis's house is being broken into right now. And I was kind of hoping that Artemis would be there to catch him, but that didn't happen because he was on a mission and he was in the house when Apollo knocked on the door and said, I have a really nice date for us, Persephone. And now Thanatos thinks they're dating, which is really messy. I don't like that at all. Apollo is completely delusional, but Thanatos does not know that. I would totally assume that they were dating too if I was in his position. But I also wouldn't be in his position because I wouldn't break into Persephone's house. Thanatos lurks into her room, finds her ledger, and inside he finds something shocking, something that makes his eyes pop out. So flash forward back to the present. Minthe opens the door. She first thought it was Hades coming back. She's like, well, that didn't take long, but it wasn't him. And Thanatos and Thetis are standing there, her two snarky best friends, the two friends that like to make fun of people at work together. Thanatos says, if this ledger is what I think it is, Persephone isn't who she presents herself to be. And that's how the episode ends. My takeaway from this episode is that the snarkiest people in this comic are now uniting to try to bring Persephone down. But will they succeed? And remember how I wanted you guys to remember how back in episode 72, Hades figures out that Persephone saw him when he was drunk trying to visit Hecate in the mortal realm, and they definitely met before the party. The time he thinks they first met, that's not their first meeting. And I said it was really important that Persephone said to herself, he's not my ideal choice, and she's so lonely, and she's so left behind by her peers. We were talking about that. Well, I have some predictions. I have some theories. I just have a feeling that Persephone like went running to see Hades because she was so deprived of contact with people other than the nymphs that she's normally with and her mother. Doesn't it feel like she just needed to see a guy, anyone who just wasn't allowed? She needed to like break free of her mother's grasp and the protection that her mother puts around her, probably for good reason since now she's bringer of death. But at the same time, Persephone couldn't live that way. And that was just a point that I wanted to make. What do you guys think went down during that drunken meeting? I can't wait to find out. And I'm nervous about people trying to bring Persephone down and find dirt on her, but she's a queen. She's a queen waiting to happen. So I'm not worried at all. Tuesday, I like to share a webtoon recommendation from one of the podcast listeners, and this week's recommendation comes from Isabella, who emailed me and said, I think you should check out Small World. It is about two guys, and they're in a relationship, and it shows them going through life. Thank you so much for the recommendation, Isabella. If you have a webtoon recommendation, go ahead and send me an email, reach out on Instagram or Twitter, and let me know in a few short sentences which webtoon you'd like to recommend and why. Wow, you made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Girl Wonder. We currently have no sponsors, so here is a shout out to a random listener instead. This week's shout out goes to Kitschy Star on Instagram. Thanks for listening, Jordan. New episodes of Girl Wonder are uploaded on Tuesdays. I'm Joe Rochelle, and we'll talk again next week. Bye!